Isn't God good? God is good. That's what it reminds me of. Every time I watch that, I think, man, God is so good. I mean, it takes me back, because I remember, some of you remember, who was anybody here when we first started this church? Raise your hand if you were part of that. Yeah, so the stage was right there. That whole wall, there was a wall there. We've torn that down since, but there was a wall. So we just met in this section here, and we had foosball in the back. We had, what was that football game we had, the electronic? Don't remember what it is. Well, Madden, yeah. It was fun. We had, it was different. But God's done a lot, and it is truly about people. We've seen lives transformed over the last 14 years. It's been 14 years, May 1st, that we moved out here, that we pulled in to Utah 14 years ago. And it has been a ride. It truly has been. So I just love watching that. But I do believe, I truly do, I don't just say that. I believe that this is just the beginning. This is just the start. There is so much work to be done in Utah. So many people that are open to the message of Christ. This is the best place. I tell people around the country and around the world that I believe Utah is the best kept secret in Christendom. Because people are scared to come here. Christians are scared to come here. I was. But this is the best place to do ministry. It is. So it's wide open. It's just, will we go after it? That's the question. And that's what we've been talking about for the last few weeks, and tonight it's a historic night. It truly is. It's a historic weekend for the Rock Church because we're doing something we don't do very often. Even as a church, we're not going to do this very often, I don't think, is to believe that God's going to help us put a building on that property, to have our first property, our first building that we own. We're not paying rent, we're not leasing, we're going to own it so we can grow and put our roots down deep. I believe that this weekend is going to help us to do that. We met with the architects. When was that? It was just a couple days ago. We met with the architects, and you know, honestly, here's what I think. I think we're just going to go for it. I believe God's going to do it. We're going to turn them loose right away here. We're going to say, draw the drawings. It's going to take 3 to 4 months to draw the drawings. They have some plans how we can start working on the dirt within 2.5 months, meaning start pushing dirt around, getting things leveled off so they can put foundations in. We want to have the shell of the building up before the snow flies this fall. That's what we believe God wants us to do, because we've been told we have to leave, and we want to have a place to go. So you're a part of that, and you've been praying. I hope you've been praying. We've been asking to pray for the last few weeks about how you can be involved. So tonight, really what I want to do is simply do a quick summary of what we've talked about before we turn our pledge cards in. That's why you all have pledge cards on your seat, because we're going to turn those in. A lot of leaders have already turned theirs in. We asked them to do it early. You're going to get your chance tonight. So let's just review real quick. You have some blanks in your handout. Let's just look at what we looked at over the last few weeks. Week one, we talked about stewardship. And really, that's kind of a bigger picture of what we talked about. Biblical stewardship. What does the Bible say? And it says a lot. How we handle the resources God gives us. The Bible says a lot. Here's just a few highlights from that message. Again, this will just be a very, very short message here. Andy Stanley says it this way, and I like it. He says, being a good steward is using God-given abilities to manage God-given resources to accomplish God-ordained results. And I like that. I think that's what it means to be a good steward. And God wants us to be a good steward. One of the things I mentioned, and I believe it, is that our stuff is not our stuff. And we can fall into that trap to think that all this stuff is just for us to build our own little kingdom so that we can pull our car up into our garage, shut the garage, our moat, shut our gate, and we never have to interact with anybody. It's our little kingdom, and we're going to be happy. I took a walk the other day, a prayer walk, and it just struck me because I don't know what's happening with our economy, but people are spending money, it seems like, because it was one of those trash pickup things in Sandy, you know how people pile stuff up. I was amazed at how many flat-screen TV boxes I saw in all the neighborhoods. Almost, it's like, was there a sale? Did I miss something? Because everybody was buying one of these things. I mean, we have so much stuff. We've been given so much. We are wealthy, whether we believe it or not. Compared to the rest of the world, we are wealthy. And we need to understand that how we steward God's stuff, not our stuff, but God's stuff, how we manage it is eternally important. And we looked at the example in Luke 16. of the shrewd manager. And this verse was there. It says, I tell you, Jesus says, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself so that after it's gone, when it's gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. What's one of the purposes for our worldly wealth? To win friends for ourselves. So be welcomed into heaven. Can you imagine that? That's one of the purposes. Are you using your money that way at all? The money God gives you to manage, are you using that at all to win people to Christ? That's one of the purposes. It's eternally important. Souls are at stake. We also learned that we'll all be held accountable for how we do managing God's stuff, just like the manager in the parable. We'll be held accountable for all the stuff that goes through our hands. And don't think that's a small amount. Don't think that's a small amount. For most of us, the amount of money that will go through our hands over the course of a lifetime will be in the millions of dollars easily. Millions of dollars will go through your hands and my hands. Even if you make a small wage, it'll add up over time to millions and millions of dollars that God gave to you to use. And he's going to call you to account, and he'll call me to account. How did you do with my stuff? Did you do what I asked you to do with it, or do you spend it all on your kingdom? That's going to be a tough question to answer, isn't it? Man, we need to make some tough decisions today. We really do. We'll be accountable. And I like this quote by Jim Elliot. Last point on this section. I love this. Jim Elliot says, he's no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. And this young man laid his life down as a missionary and was killed on mission. Stewardship. It's a wise management of God's stuff. Whose stuff is it? Is it your stuff? Yes or no? No, it's not. Is it mine? It's not mine. It's God's stuff. And he gives it to us and says, manage it, be a good steward, because you're going to be held accountable, and it's eternally important. It's eternally important. That was week one. Here was week two. We talked about commitment with our finances, making commitments, making vows to God, making a plan with our finances so we can be good stewards of it. God wants us to make commitments, to make godly, thoughtful, prayerful vows, in other words. Here's a good verse that talks about that. Well, yeah, I'll have to show you the verse and I'll have to come back to that because you don't understand that. Well, Josh does, but 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. And I love that verse. And this is the picture I get. God's eyes. Well, he's got more than one. I don't know how many eyes he has. But in heaven, God says he looks down. My eyes search to and fro, kind of like, you know, the eye in Lord of the Rings. It's searching, right? And it's searching for something to support those whose hearts are fully committed to him. That's what God's looking for. He's not looking for Frodo or a ring. He's looking for hearts who are fully committed to him. Have you ever prayed that? I have many times. In my prayer time, God, in my quiet time, in my basement by myself, God, I want your eyes to stop right here. I know you're looking, you're ranging throughout the whole earth. I know that's what that verse says. You must be doing it now. I pray that if I'm the only person on this planet right now that is fully committed to you, I pray that your eyes would stop right here so you could support me. I want your eyes. I want to be fully committed. I want to make a commitment to you, God, that I'm yours. God's eyes are looking for committed people. And here's the kicker. Here's what we learned is that commitment is both reflected in our giving and expressed in our giving. Are you committed to God? There's one litmus test, one of them anyway. There's others, but one litmus test is how you doing with your money? How you doing with your stewardship? What are you doing with the stuff he's given you? Look at that, and that'll show you, it'll reflect and express how committed you are. There is an element to that. We know that's true. It's a test. God tells us that in the Bible. He says, listen, if you do good with little things, with worldly wealth, I'll give you much to be faithful with. It says in Luke 16. So evidently, how we do with our money on this planet is a test. And it's reflection and expression of how committed we are to God. So you can, if you want to know, I can help you. I can help you in just a few minutes if you bring me your checkbook, you bring me your credit card statement, and I'll help you understand how committed you are. I'll show you. But you should do that yourself. You don't need me. Are you committed? Or are you just a talker? Are you lip service with God, or are you committed? Our finances are a reflection and an expression of our commitment to God. It truly is. I don't know anybody that's committed to God that I would say that person is committed to God that isn't given sacrificially. I don't know anybody. And that's true. I like what P.T. Barnum said. I love this quote. Money is a terrible master, but an excellent servant. You see, money can do a lot of good. It can change a lot of lives. It can change lives in other countries when we do Compassion International. We support kids that have way less than us. That changes lives. I had a guy stand up in our service on Sunday morning, Lou Ponsavati, some of you know him. In Laos, when he was a child, he had nothing. And somebody supported him with Compassion International. He was a Compassion child. He goes to our church. He's a faithful brother. And he's a very, very generous brother, by the way. Unbelievably generous. Maybe because he's been touched. Somebody supported him. Somebody helped him that didn't even know him. Somebody loved him, and it changed his life. And he finally made his way over to the United States. And he's got his own business now. And he's a sweet, dear brother in our congregation. Money can do a lot of good. Amen? It can do a lot of good. But it's a horrible master. It is a horrible taskmaster. And the Bible says that if we're in debt, then we are a slave to our debt. And if you're in debt, you know what it feels like to have money be your master. And it's not a good feeling. God says he wants to use a portion of our money to accomplish what he's doing on this planet. And I believe what part of what he's doing is doing it through our ministry and the church that you're a part of. The Rock Church, God is doing things. God is moving us. And in order to do that, it's going to take money. It simply is. I'm not ashamed to say that. I'm invested in it. I have been for 14 years. And I will continue to be. I'm invested sacrificially to do what God's doing, to help be a part of all that God's doing here. So part of that is the building. And I just want to, again, just remind you, again, we are making plans to move ahead with this. And we're pretty convinced that we are going to be asked to leave in July or August. That's only a month and a half, 2 months away. And we're going to be displaced. So Sandy, what you need to understand, is kind of the mother church. It's the first church we started, and financially it supports a lot of what happens over the course of all our ministry. And so it's a big deal to have that church get displaced. We're going to be fine. God's going to take care of us. We'll figure it all out. But it makes sense for us just to go ahead and get a building on the property that we own. And this is kind of what we've come up with so far, a two-phase model. We'd love to do the whole thing at once, but we can't afford it all at once. But we can't afford phase one, which is the educational wing. We made the kind of a multi-purpose room a little bigger than we had planned so that we could fit with two services. We could fit everybody in. We're gonna start that building. We're going to build that building. We met with the architects, and the price has come in right about where we thought it would. And we're ready to pull the trigger and do this thing. And I'm excited that we're going to be doing it. And the architects are going to start drawing the building. What you'll see is it's on the corner of really 116th and 7th East, 116 South, 7th East, just over the border into Draper, just if you're wondering. We're looking right now, we're kind of looking north and west, and that's 7th East that's going in front of the building there with the cars on there. That's what it would look like. Phase one, once we put phase two on with the auditorium and the bigger lobby, that's what that would look like. And this is looking southwest, going down 7th East. This is what phase one would look like, and then we add phase two later. This is what it would look like. And we could fit in that building. It's bigger than we're meeting in Sandy now, but the point is we could fit there. So rather than be displaced, we'd have a place to go. And then we grow, we get enough money saved to add the auditorium, the bigger auditorium, and the lobby. Now this is what kind of the lobby would look like. And isn't it cool that we have the architects that we hired, we have two of the architects that work for this company go to this service. So we have people that are invested in us in this church that are giving to this Roots program that are the architects that are going to draw this building. And we have civil engineers that are working on our behalf that go to this church and are blessing us. People are vested in this project. People are. This is going to happen. And tonight you can be a part of it. You truly can. And I hope that you will be. Again, we can have this by next spring. And that would truly be a blessing for the Sandy Church, but it would bless all the locations because we have plans to be spread out. And this is going to give us a home base where which we can do a lot of good in this valley. I believe it. So that was commitment. We talked about stewardship, commitment. The third week, we talked about sacrifice. We talked about sacrifice. That was last week. Sacrifice means to offer to God something precious to you. You know, it's no sacrifice to, you know, give somebody a candy bar that makes you, you know, that you don't like, okay? Whatever candy bar you don't like, here, have this. That's no sacrifice. What's hard to sacrifice is when there's one piece of pizza and you came to the party late and you're so hungry and you allow somebody else to eat the pizza. That's a sacrifice, right? Yes, especially if it's este, then it's a real sacrifice. I get that. Something precious to you. Again, I guess we have more Lord of the Ring references here. Something precious to you. 1 Chronicles 21:24 says, "But King David replied to Araunah, 'No, I insist on paying the full price for this property.'" David asked to buy his property. The guy said, "No, I'll give it to you." David said, no, I insist on paying full price. And he says, "I will not take for the Lord what is yours or sacrifice a burnt offering that cost me what? That cost me what?" David said, "I'm not going to sacrifice anything to my God that doesn't cost me something. I'm not going to do that. Why would I do that? It's got to cost me. My God is worth it," is what he's saying. "No, I won't take that from you and give it to God. No, I will take something that's going to cost me. I will pay for it. I will do this because God is worthy of this. It's going to cost me." Sacrifice always costs us. And we looked at three very cool examples, if you remember. We looked at the widow's mite, the valuable gift. Jesus spent an afternoon with his disciples sitting around the giving box, watching people put their money in. What a way to spend the afternoon in Jerusalem, just watching people put money in the treasury. He saw rich people come up with big bags. It says they threw their money in. I just imagine it, taking a big bag and throwing it in for show and taking a bow for how much money they put in and walking off. And then the widow walked up with her cane and took two copper coins that were worth less than a penny. Worth less than a penny. She dropped those in and Jesus said, "Did you see that? That woman gave more than all those rich people. Because she gave all she had." You see, it's not about the amount, is it? It's about our hearts. It's about what we're giving out of. The Bible says, "He who has much does not have too much. He who has little does not have too little." God's given us all the right amount. And as we prayed, we sought God. God has given you a heart to know how much would be a sacrifice for you in this project. All right, then we talked about David's sacrifice, which we just read, and then Mary's gift, the perfume. And how much was that perfume worth that Mary poured on Jesus' feet? How much was that worth? A year's wages. That's a lot of money for most of us. That's a lot of money. And she poured it out. And Jesus said, "Don't rebuke her." As a matter of fact, wherever the gospel is shared, this story is going to be told. That was a gift that had impact. That was the impactful gift, wasn't it? Imagine that. The Lord of the universe, the creator of the universe says, "Boy, that gift impressed me so much that any time that the good news of what I did is going to be told, this story is going to be told of what you did in remembrance of me." Is that what he said? No, he said it's going to be in remembrance of her. What? That to me, that's crazy. That Jesus would say that about somebody. Every time the gospel's shared, this story's going to be told about you so people remember you. Whoa, that was a pretty important, impactful gift. A whole year's wages just poured out for Jesus. Our gifts will have impact. What I want to do now is I saw a video that shows a great, it's an excellent giving story. And I thought it would be good for us to watch this. And then I'll finish up. We're going to have a song. We're going to have an opportunity to fill out our commitment cards, and we'll turn those in. So be praying if you haven't already. I trust that God has led you. This is not a... Boy, if you're new tonight, here's the deal. If you're new tonight, Do not turn one of these cards in unless God has verbally spoken to you. And people around you heard God say that to you. Do not do that. That's not what this is about. And if you came here and totally forgot about this, do not turn one of these cards in tonight. I want you to go before God and say, God, how can I be involved? How should I be? He might say, don't be. Then you'd be being disobedient tonight. I don't want any part of that. God's got this thing. There is no strong arming in this. I want you to pray and ask God to show you how you can be involved, okay? That's what this is about. But I do want to watch this video, watch this story. It's a very cool story. You're going to like it. It's 5 minutes, and I'll get back up, and we'll finish up, okay? So let's go ahead and run this. I'll be right back up.
You know how sometimes it feels like life just happens? You know, just random things seem to fill your day. Things with little or no consequence to anyone else. I mean, I know God's in control of my life, but I never really saw how much He was weaving my story with other people's stories, and really, into His story. Well, that's all changed. It was a cold day, the kind where you really don't want to have some long conversation outside with someone, especially with someone you don't really know. But that's exactly what God had in mind. Amy and I had just eaten lunch at Dumplin's downtown Franklin, and we were walking to the car and we see this couple that I thought I recognized from church. It would have been awkward just to walk by them and not say anything, so we stopped and said hey and did the whole, yeah, you guys go to fellowship thing, whatever. Well, we start talking and the whole Dave Ramsey thing comes up. They asked us where we were in the process, and I told them that so far we paid off $60,000, but still had $10,000 left to go. They asked us what we would do when we were debt-free, and I laughed and told them, well, I told my kids I'd buy them a trampoline, what we really wanted to adopt, and we committed to being debt-free before we did. The whole conversation only lasted about 3 minutes. It was like, nice to meet you. That was random. Well, the next day, that random person shows up at my office with this brand new trampoline. I couldn't believe it. It was like my kids are gonna freak. I set it up that night, and my kids jumped on that thing for 4 hours. I mean, we didn't even know these people. They didn't have to do that. I mean, really, that's pretty generous. Well, the next day, I get an email from the same lady saying, oh, you guys seem like a sharp couple, and we'd love to come by and talk to you about something. I emailed her back and said, that sounds like a multi-level marketing proposal, and if it was, we really weren't interested. Of course, she says it's not that sort of deal, but she was really persistent. She even called Amy. Amy had been sick, and it really wasn't a great time to have company over. Our house was a wreck, and we didn't feel like picking it up. We said everything short of, please don't come over to my house. So they show up, and I'm like, here we go. Let's get this over with. Don't say yes to anything. I couldn't believe they sunk their claws into us with that trampoline to get us involved in some pyramid scheme. Anyway, so we small talked for about 5 minutes, and then right when I thought they were about to drop the bomb, they did. But it wasn't the bomb I was expecting. So the lady says, well, we told you we'd only be a few minutes, and I really don't know how to say this, but we want to pay off your $10,000 left in debt so you guys can adopt. She pulls out her checkbook and goes, how do you spell your guys' names? What? Are you kidding me? Are you for real? I mean, who does that? Who writes somebody a check for $10,000 and gives it to people they don't even know? So they give us a check and they said, just don't act weird around the church and just don't tell anybody it was us. And they drove off. I mean, Amy and I stood there for 10 minutes in total shock. And we cried and we screamed and we ran all over the yard and the house. Unbelievable. I mean, seriously, it was beyond belief. We realized 9 months later when we brought Malaya home, the check they wrote us was dated 9 months prior to Malaya's due date. They gave us that money right about the time our daughter was conceived. It was like God was saying, I have a baby out there for you right now. I'm not waiting around another 2 years for you to pay off that debt. We felt called to adopt, but we simply couldn't afford to do it on our own. We found that this random couple had already adopted 4 children and felt a calling to continue to serve through adoption. Rather than bringing more children into their home, they decided to help others adopt. It didn't just happen. It wasn't random at all. God knew his plan. He had just invited us to walk with him through this process. He was weaving our callings, our stories together for us to love and to care for each other, to make a beautiful tapestry for his glory. Thank you, Jesus.
I like this verse. Acts 20:35 says, the Lord Jesus himself said, it's more blessed to give than receive. You know, if you go to Generosity Book, I think it's called generositybook.com, you get to see the other side of it. You get to see the couple that gave the money. They tell their side of the story of what they were thinking, how God convicted them and led them to give that money, which is very, very cool. God has been good to us. And I just want to share with you that I told the Sunday morning church, I don't know if I told you guys this last week, that I believe that we have some of the most generous people on the planet in this church. And I don't just say that lightly. I've experienced the generosity in unbelievable ways from people in this church. I've seen it firsthand. There are so many generous people here. And I just want to share with you that your leaders, the leaders in this church, are off the charts examples when it comes to generosity. And I don't say that without data, all right? I'll just share with you what the latest is, just to give you the update of where we're at with our leader pledge. We asked our leaders and some of our, in all of our churches to come a week early, and they did last Thursday, and they pledged an amount, and I shared that with you, but that amount has gone up some. So our leaders have already pledged their money, so this is your chance to join them. But just so you know, that your leaders are all in, they've already pledged $1.287 million for this project, above and beyond their regular giving. Almost $1.3 million has already been pledged for this project. And we're trying to raise $2.5 million. The building's probably going to cost $2.8 million. We can do that. We have money in the bank. We can afford $2.8 million, especially if we raise $2 to $2.5 million. So the leaders have already come through. The leaders have already pledged. Now it's time for you and for me. I've already pledged, but for those of you that haven't had the opportunity to move from deliberation to decision, from consideration to commitment, those of you that have been praying, this is your opportunity. All right, you get to do this now. So I'm going to lead you through this. What we have are commitment cards. On your chair, we have envelopes and pens. So literally, let me just walk you through how we're going to do this. On your card, you're going to see weekly, monthly, annual. Keep in mind, this is a 36-month pledge. So if you pledge monthly, you'll give monthly for 36 months. That's a 3-year pledge. Don't make any mistake about it. Even a small amount adds up over 36 months. And we gave you a little chart on the back that you can look at and see how that amount builds up over a 36-month total. If you pledge $22, that adds up to over $780. If you do $22 a month, that's $5 a week. That'll be $780. So you can go all the way down to $500, and that just adds up. So what we're going to have you do now is you guys can play a little something in the background if you could, and then I'm going to give you a minute just to fill this out. And here's the deal. If you've already pledged and you pledged online, I just want you to write that on your card, because I want everyone to be able to pass something, and that helps nobody feel like if they're not given that, that's fine. But just write on there, already pledged online, and then fold it up. You can put it in the envelope if you're concerned about what other people seen, or you can just fold it in half. What you want to do, we're going to send ushers in just a second, and they'll collect these. Are you guys with us on this? Do you understand what we're doing here? This is a historic moment in our church, and you're a part of it. You can say you're a part. I had people come up to me all the time and say, I just started our church when we did our first Roots campaign in 2008. I was just coming. I was a part of that. And now I'm all in for 2.0. So why don't you just take a minute and make sure that you fill out everything clearly, because we'll confirm with you that this is your pledge. So if you pledge $100 a month, and we're going to make sure you didn't say 1,000, okay? We're going to, now, was there, we thought that was 1,000. You can go, no, it was 100, okay? So go ahead and take a minute, fill that out. We're going to collect them in just a second here. And We'll have our, what we're calling First Fruits Weekend. That'll be in a couple weeks where we'll ask people to bring their first donation, whether it's a weekly or monthly or whatever it is. We'll all bring it at one point. That'll help us because we're paying architects now. We're going to be paying guys to move land, and it will help if people could start giving by the end of this month. So in a couple weeks, we'll all bring our first fruits, our first check or whatever it is. And by the way, if you want to do this online, you can. You can just write in there, I've done it online, or I'm going to do it online, because we have, it's all set up. It's very simple off our website. Most people, a lot of people nowadays want to do it that way, so that's a great way. A lot of you have done that already. Just go online to our website. Just click on the big button that says Pledge, the Roots Pledge button, and it'll take you right through it. So go ahead and fill that out. I'm going to pray now as the ushers. You guys can kind of come forward. Why don't you come up to the front here, stand here. And we're going to pass, or actually they're going to just collect all your stuff. So keep filling it out. If you're not done yet, make sure you fill out all the information about your name and address so we can make sure that we get this right for you. If you're done filling out, you can just bow your head with me and pray, and we'll collect it after I pray here. But God, we thank you for tonight. I thank you again. It's humbling to think of all that you've done through the people and the ministry here at The Rock. I'm humbled to be one of the pastors here. I'm thankful for all that you've done. You've amazed me. You've surprised me. I didn't know what you were going to do 14 years ago. I was scared because I didn't know what to expect. But God, you have so blessed, and you have so made it clear to us that you have lots of work to be done here in Utah. So we're humbled by that, and we're thankful for that. But we know it's only the beginning, God. We know there's so much more to do, and it just takes resources. It just simply does. And I thank you for the opportunity that we have land that we own, that we can put a building on that. And I pray that you would lead people tonight the way you want them to be led. I pray that no one would feel compulsion to give. They would feel a conviction from you, Jesus, that you would show them how much or to give or how much not to give. God, I just pray that you'd make that very clear. We trust you. I trust you. And I know this is your thing. And you're going to do what you're going to do. I pray that you would amaze us, encourage us, help us work together, realizing if we have hundreds and hundreds of people giving just a little, it adds up, and we can do this thing if everyone does their part. So we commit this to you, God. We are humbled even to be able to give back to you. You've given us so much. Who are we that you should allow us to give something back to you? We're thankful for that. Help us be faithful with what we pledge. Help us be faithful with that. God, we commit this offering to you, these pledges to you, this whole weekend to you, and we thank you for this chapter in our church that we'll all remember. And we ask that you be glorified in all of it, and we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.